Hi, this is Anuradha Naimpally with Austin Dance India, and you are listening to Austin Artists on KOOP, solar-powered radio for the people.
And today on the Austin Artist Show,
what you got?
Goodness, Texans for the Arts. Ann Graham, executive director for Texans for the Arts, is going to be here. She is here.
She is here, Ann Graham.
Yeah, we're going to start off.
I've met her.
Yeah, you've met Ann before. We're going to talk about just last night was the deadline for the governor to veto, and we're going to talk about some appropriations and financial type of stuff for the arts. And we got a whole bunch of things to get to, so I'm going to get to it.
Well, rock on, man.
What is the station, Rush?
Why, that would be KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, and this is Austin Artists, and that's your host, Art Smith, I've been talking to.
You're listening to Austin Artists on KOOP, solar-powered radio for the people.
Choreographer and director with Austin Samba, and you are listening to Austin Artists on KOOP, solar powered radio for the people.
Man. All right, you are tuned to KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, your community radio station. This is the show we call Austin Artists. Mr. Art Smith in the house, along with Ann Graham, Executive Director for Texans for the Arts. Ann, hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Love to be on the show. Really appreciate the invitation.
Oh, yeah, we're doing this quarterly.
Yes.
I'm committed to it.
Yeah, it's good. We've got stuff to say.
And we should mention, you just flew in here.
Yep, that's right.
We have 25 minutes with you. We better dig in.
Okay.
Let's give folks some context and framework. If they don't know anything about the organization, maybe some history, the mission, and then we'll pick it up from there.
Great. So Texans for the Arts is the statewide arts advocacy organization. Almost every state has one. We play a really vital role in advocating for the public investment in the arts, as opposed to private philanthropy, foundation work, et cetera. And this is really about public resources because there's a mandate to reach every citizen of the state through public funding. And it's kind of investment that really, really reaches and does a deeper dive than private philanthropy, which is another key part. So we work primarily through the legislative process. We support the hotel occupancy tax, which is a local funding source for the arts. Mm-hmm. We support the Texas Commission on the Arts, which is a statewide funding. And then we work at the federal level with our peers to support money for the National Endowment for the Arts. So we're involved in both appropriations as well as policy, trying to support policy development that supports a broad and rich and robust arts community across Texas.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to hear about a lot of those things a little later. And mm-hmm. also Texans for the Arts Foundation.
Yes, yeah, so we have what's called a 501c3 and a 501c4. The mm-hmm. foundation is our C3. That's a charitable organization, very education-focused. Mm-hmm. We do Texas Arts Advocacy Day, which you've been a part
of. Yeah. Yes, I love it.
We're involved in National Arts Advocacy Day.
We're going to hear all about that.
Yeah,
too.
We have workshop series. Mm-hmm. And then our Texans for the Arts, it's actually called a 501c4. It is a lobbying organization. Mm-hmm. We have a lobbyist under contract, which is really a critical part of our team. Mm-hmm. So that enables us to do that from the IRS perspective, a different kind of reporting requirements. So mm-hmm. a real important part of our organization.
Absolutely. And the 501c3, anyone can contribute and join, right?
Yes. Correct? So we are charitable deduction. Mm-hmm. Charitable organizations. Mm-hmm. The memberships to Texans for the Arts Foundation are tax deductible, and those to the lobbying organization are not. But that's mm-hmm. a key source of our membership, and again, nice. The resources where we can actually lobby.
Yeah. And big shout out to all the volunteers.
Yes, and all of our members. We really appreciate our board of directors and all the legislators who help vote and support the work that we're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's roll along. I want to kind of rewind a little bit. National Arts Advocacy Day. Can we talk about some of the things going in, some of the takeaways?
Yes. Yeah? So at the national level, we have an annual gathering which is sponsored by Americans for the Arts, mm-hmm. which is the National Arts Advocacy Day, or National Arts Advocacy Organization, and mm-hmm. they really work to support us at the state level as well. It's now called the National Arts Action Summit. It's a three-day event. We have a delegation, and anybody can join our delegation from Texas, arts leaders across the state. We convene on Washington, D.C. sometime in March, and we're looking, and that's timed along with this federal budget so that we can have our appropriations in. And we're typically, this last in March, we were asking for a $12.5 million increase for the National Endowment for the Arts. Mm-hmm. The National Endowment for the Arts is the national, is the federal arts arts organization that dispenses funding across the United States mm-hmm. With a sizable investment in Texas, so it's really important. And then other kinds of policy, like immigration policy that supports artists traveling across international borders. Things like, can you carry your musical instrument on an airplane? I mean, just think about the kind of policies. They seem esoteric, but they're really relevant when it comes down to an artist's life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we were all together. We spent days in training. We do a Texas training. And then we schedule appointments, and we try to make it to all 38 of our legislators, including our two senators, and to have constituents. Mm-hmm. So it always works better when we're actually talking to our own elected officials. They know they vote. They know that they take part in the election process and that their voice really matters because, yes, they're working at the national platform, but their district in Texas is what they're really representing and what's important to them. So we take it seriously to try to meet with all of our legislators and hopefully have as many constituents that can meet directly as well.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of the, I noticed some awards being handed out as well?
Well, yeah. I mean, at National mm-hmm. Arts Advocacy Day, there's also some, they have caucuses, cultural mm-hmm. arts caucuses. These are cross-party. This is not a partisan issue. Mm-hmm. Funding for the arts is not a partisan issue. This is really something that we believe across. I want to emphasize that.
Yeah,
we're in the political process, but we're not talking about partisan. So there are awards that were given to some of the key legislators who led those caucuses, both mm-hmm. in the Senate and in the House. And those were, it's always really important to give our opportunity for our legislators who support our work to shine.
Absolutely.
And you know, we're always looking for ways to do that. So mm-hmm. that was part of the summit as well. Thanks.
Nice. And maybe some takeaways from the National Action Arts
National
Action
Arts
Summit.
Action Summit.
I'm going to use the same that.
Yeah, at the federal level, things move much more slowly.
Mm-hmm. It's more just being there and being
heard.
It's
being there and being present.
Yeah, okay.
And to get things through the House and the Texas legislature and the federal legislature, mm-hmm. there's so many steps that are involved, subcommittees, committees, hearings. It seems to take longer. There's a lot of contention right now in the federal government about meeting the timelines to pass budgets, as we know, with the sequester, government shutdown at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. So there's a different kind of weight.
Yeah.
I think when we visit Washington, everything just takes more time than at the state where we're able to sort of follow it. It seems a little more nimble.
Yeah.
So key takeaways, we have to keep making our voices heard at every level.
Mm-hmm.
It's vitally important that we register people to vote, that we vote, that we reiterate that vital role that we have a responsibility and obligation to take part in the democratic process.
Absolutely.
And so that's what we all come together in our, you know, working on arts-based issues.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of public education campaigns and voting, Arts Vote Texas.
Yes, so that's a new initiative that we started this year, mm-hmm. working with our peer group and our friends in Massachusetts called Mass Creative, mm-hmm. who's kicked off something they call Create the Vote. We've kicked off Arts Vote Texas, and we piloted it in the mayoral and city council election in Dallas, mm-hmm. which the runoff just happened on June 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an effort to educate candidates and to engage voters. And this is, and the goal here is for us to elect our elected officials who are already pro-arts, who already believe in the power and the impact that the arts have in their communities. It's not about recommending who to vote for.
Right.
It's putting the issues that are important to the arts, mm-hmm. and this is at the municipal level, that we'd like to do it at the statewide level too,
mm-hmm.
and have them embrace why the arts are so important in their districts, and then to let the public decide which one of the candidates seems to represent their interest in the arts the most.
And this is a part of it is education.
Yes, educating the candidates. What's really important is, candidates have so many things they have to understand about, from housing to transportation to agriculture to the arts. Is just one tiny, it seems like one tiny thing, but it's vitally important to the economy and to the culture and the quality of life of our communities.
Absolutely.
So what this is, the Dallas team met one-on-one with all nine of the mayoral candidates. They did a forum, and then we had a questionnaire that there's 60-plus candidates for council, nine candidates for mayor, and they answered a questionnaire. It's published on our website, so you could go, and the questions had to do with, how do you believe about the impact of the arts in your community? Mm-hmm. And then we would meet with them to give them facts and figures, because they may not have them, and we want them to look smart. We want them to be smart about the arts.
Yeah.
So that's, we just kicked it off in Dallas. We hope to seek support and spread this across the state.
Right on. And how can the average person participate?
Well, the average person, one, you can just be supporting our work, but two, you can go to our website, texansforthearts.com. Mm-hmm. On the upper banner, it says
Arts Vote,
mm-hmm. and you can sort of go through there, and you can decide, if you want to get involved, let me know. Mm-hmm. You can decide whether or not this is something you want to try to use in your own community. And I've got lots of other, I'm getting phone calls from people, hey, this sounds really exciting. Nice. We want to raise these issues in our communities. How can we do this? Mm-hmm. And there's different ways to get involved. You can just do a questionnaire. You can just make sure that the platforms are understood across the community. You can actually host. You could host a forum in your own community when it comes to being an election. So our next elections, for the most part, are going to be coming up in November. Mm-hmm. And, if there's people who are interested in getting involved, we want to try to help them support this effort. We can't do it in every community across Texas. It's going to take that grassroots based within each person's community, but that is our goal. Our goal is that everybody would use this as a platform for educating their candidates and making sure that their peers and their neighbors and their family and friends are registered to vote and participate.
Yeah, it has a nice ring to it.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, and it's important. It's important issues. I mean, a lot of people may think that the arts are peripheral and not very necessary in some aspects of life, but I would argue with that.
Right. Well, you do a good job of that on this show. And for us, it's really, the arts are integral to our lives.
Yeah.
They are not extra. They are not fluff.
Yeah.
It's not even arts for art's sake. It's really about the role, the passion that people bring to it. It's great for cross-cultural communication
everything.
And understanding. It's vitally important in our schools so that children have access.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is not just about becoming a concert pianist. This is about learning skills that help us be good decision makers and good peer leaders. It's important for the economy of our communities. It's important for tourism.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes life richer, funner, more thoughtful. It really provides vehicles for us to communicate when you think about people coming together across diverse cultures in music and dance and in movement and spoken word, and how that resonates. That is blind to color, creed.
Yeah.
It's just really a way for us to be together in an important way.
I always say that the arts are the great equalizer.
They are.
And I see it here on the show a lot. I know I've mentioned this in the past, but it really is true. Every week I see how the arts impact people's lives in such a positive way. And I'm I'm rolling along with veterans in the arts. And we had arts advocates. We had Dr. Lawrence Becker in here. And man, just so many great guests doing so much good work. And it's just amazing. And it's such a fascinating thing to see in action, that these lives are really being lifted by the arts. And if I'm going to quote Francesco Master Matteo, when he says, we're not just teaching them to be good musicians, we're teaching them to be good people, good adults. Yeah, so
the citizens of the world.
They
are young people, are the future of our world, and investing and giving them the opportunity through arts is just vital.
It's so important. And when we talked last, my project was to start having guests record these little 2 or 3 minute snippets of what the arts mean to them and how they've seen things through their perspective. And so that is rolling along. I'm going to have it ready for Arts Advocacy Day, Texas.
Great. Thank you. We'll look forward to sharing that.
Definitely. Let's take a little break and we'll be back. And I want to hear all about the 86th legislative session.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
All right. Stay tuned. You are tuned to KOOP, HD1, HD3, Hornsby, Austin Artists. Be back in just a minute.
Hello, my name is Dr. Lawrence A. Becker. I'm producer of two documentary films about art and autism. The first film was With Eyes Wide Open in 1983, featuring Richard Vavro from Edinburgh, Scotland. The second film, just had its world premiere, is Fierce Love and Art. You can find out about these films by going to the website www.fiercelovedparents.com. And thank you for listening to Austin Artists on KOOP, solar-powered radio for the people.
All right, some good information for you there. You are tuned to KOOP, your community radio station. This is the show called Austin Artist. Today in the studio, Ann Graham, Executive Director for Texans for the Arts. And we're continuing our conversation. We're going to hear all about the 86th Legislative Session. Ann, talk to us.
Well, this has been a very good session for the arts. I'd like to thank all of the legislators, all of our legislators, who ran for office, participated in office. It is a pleasure to work in the state capitol and to be a liaison with the public and through the arts. And I just, again, they work so hard and their staff work so hard. So just a shout out to the legislative process and to everybody who believes in that and commits their life to it. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the state went into this session with more resources than the last session. Oil and gas dollars were up, and we knew there was going to be a commitment and the capacity to give more. That translated for the arts to the largest single increase in the history of arts appropriation and the largest single increase for the Texas Commission on the Arts, which is the statewide arts advocacy organization. We don't work for them. We work to raise the whole boat.
Right.
We work around the hotel occupancy tax I said earlier. We work on different policy issues, and we work to secure resources for the Texas Commission on the Arts. Mm-hmm. We went into this particular session trying to restore a $5 million appropriation. Mm-hmm. Two sessions ago, you may remember from our conversations that we were able to secure $5 million for the Texas Commission on the Arts Cultural District Program.
Mm-hmm. That's back in the 84th?
Back in the 84th, so okay. Two sessions ago. Mm-hmm. And a cultural district is a geographically designated area that has a robust arts and culture climate mm-hmm. and infrastructure. It's an application process. You go through the TCA. There's now 40 designated cultural districts. It's a way that a city and community can market itself and really show that arts and culture has a direct impact on them.
And this ties into the veterans as well?
More tangentially. But this mm-hmm. cultural district money is unique. It's a grant program that the TCA has. And we secured a $10 million appropriation, actually, two sessions mm-hmm. ago. Half of that got vetoed by the governor, who felt that it was too much growth for that particular right. year. And then the last, but they used that money, they distributed those funds, mm-hmm. there were great projects that happened, and we were able to show through metrics that there was a direct return on the investment, a significant investment of these state dollars leveraged a lot of money mm-hmm. in the cultural district community.
So that was ears perk up when you say that.
Yes, return on investment, very positive. And then last session with a steep budget cuts, right? Everybody was cut across the board, including the TCA, which suffered a bigger cut.
Frightened.
Yes.
Nervous.
That $5 million was taken away, mm-hmm. and we were not able to restore it last session. This session, we went in saying, hey, let's restore that. Mm-hmm. And by the way, don't you remember that two sessions ago there was $10 million? So we are very, very pleased through a lot of hard work, grassroots advocates, a lot of outreach with our legislators, mm-hmm. a lot of testifying, a lot of being very present, that we were able to not only secure the $5 million, but we were able to secure the now $10 million mm-hmm. for that given program. And the good news is that the governor did not veto those funds. In fact, mm-hmm. the governor didn't veto anything in the budget. Nice. There was a real coming together, I think, this session, mm-hmm. A lot more cooperation and goals being property tax relief and education reform, mm-hmm. lots of other things, but those were the big House Bill, Senate Bill 1, 2, and 3, and mm-hmm. those were the things that we were able to, with the general more resources, being in the right place at the right time, working with the right legislators, and being mm-hmm. very involved in House Appropriations and Senate Finance to be able to bring those resources. And the veto period was over at midnight last night.
Good timing.
And I'm happy to say that the Texas Commission on the Arts was ready, and the grant deadline for the first round is today.
Nice.
So everybody was getting ready, but we didn't really know what we had, but we're very happy that that's the first round of proposals. Mm-hmm. Those proposals will be projects that are happening this next year. There'll mm-hmm. be $5 million more dollars next year, and really excited to see how our communities invest those resources.
Absolutely. So this is across Texas, the cultural district
grants? Yes, they're across Texas. The cultural districts will have to apply. It's mm-hmm. a grant program.
And so the city applies, and that's not individual?
No. Each cultural district has an organizing sort of leadership entity. Okay. And then there are nonprofit organizations that exist within the cultural mm-hmm. districts, and if they meet the eligibility requirements, they would apply for separate grants.
Got it. And they got professional grant writers and all that stuff.
I wouldn't say volunteers, okay. but sometimes I think mostly nonprofit arts sector has, depending if you're a large organization, you may have paid development staff. Oftentimes, they're very small organizations, and it's a cooperative effort to write the grants.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about, now, this is the largest single increase and the largest total budget. That's never happened before. Is there some backstory? Like, why? It's just more funds?
Partly more funds.
But and the good work you're doing as
we
well.
We were very were present. Yeah. Yes, we were doing good work. Mm-hmm. It is a lot of communication to sort of show elected officials why there's that much additional resources.
Mm-hmm. Now, $16 million for 2019 to 2020, and then it goes down to $11
right.
million.
There's an additional appropriation of $5 million uh-huh. in the first year for a district for a cultural center, an arts mm-hmm. and cultural center in the community of Flower Mound. Okay. And that will be a one-year appropriation that will be passed through the Texas Commission on the Arts. So that's why you see that larger increase.
I see.
Those are real dollars. Those are going to make a difference in that community. Mm-hmm. And those will not be reinvested the second year.
Mm-hmm. Now, can we give some point of reference? I don't know if that's a lot or, I mean, it's the largest single increase, but how is it stack up to other states, maybe?
Well, that's interesting. So, you know, you think I would have done the math. Technically, before this appropriation, we were 48th mm-hmm. in the United States, I believe, around 18 cents per capita.
Not the top 10.
And I have to do the math, but I think this will probably, you have to just do the division between 29 million people. We're nudging up a few states, which I'm happy to say.
It's progress.
Okay. I literally was just in Minneapolis, Minnesota with Americans for the Arts with mm-hmm. my peers who run their state arts agencies, mm-hmm. State arts advocacy organizations. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, every state's a little different. We fund the arts differently. We have different programs. We all have state arts agencies, mm-hmm. which are actually the governmental entities, right. but they're really varied. Some of them, Minnesota is the APEX, which has a constitutional amendment for a sales tax that helps fund arts and parks. They're like over $7 per capita.
Wow.
You heard me say we were 18 cents per capita.
Minnesota, so, what's going on up
yeah,
there?
Yeah, they've got their act together, and there's a lot of variations and mm-hmm. themes in there from, you know, sales tax, from lotteries, from, Texas has a licensed state program as well, mm-hmm. Local tax, appropriations. There's a whole mix of funding opportunities.
Are there some kind of sharing of ideas
yes. Yeah, I mean, we did a lot. In fact, you had mentioned arts in the military. A lot of what we're sharing is sort of how we're starting to explore the governmental landscape for new sources of revenue. Mm-hmm. So I'm really happy and excited to say that a $250,000 appropriation mm-hmm. new to the TCA supports arts in the military initiative.
Nice.
You had mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
So that will fund programs through the Texas Commission on the Arts existing Arts Respond program on health and human services. Their mm-hmm. Arts Respond deal with the five major areas that the state has made a commitment to, mm-hmm. including health and human services, education, economic development, rural and agriculture, and the justice system.
Mm-hmm.
This will be new funds for that same program, but they're earmarked for nonprofit sector that works, art sector that works with veterans and military servicemen and women and their children. So
yes.
There's a number of organizations that are already doing really good work in this arena. VSA mm-hmm. Texas has a program, mm-hmm. Texas Folk Life, the Telling Project. There's mm-hmm. a host of them.
Yep.
There's a number of them are listed, too, on the TCA's website. So this is just more resources, and it's really important. I think Texas has the second highest number of veterans in the United States, mm-hmm. and it's a growing population. And this is a really vital way that we can provide services across the state and through the grant program, and, again,
absolutely.
Rural or urban areas, on bases, off bases.
Mm-hmm.
And so other states are – I, in fact, did a brief presentation on that when I was in Minneapolis. And then there's other things that are looking at other sorts of arts and healing or mm-hmm. arts in the juvenile justice system.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of organizations that are starting to work with adults and juveniles. So there's a power that you were talking about that the arts meet well beyond bringing us joy and mm-hmm. being creative ourselves, but looking at the impact that they have on our lives.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting that we got that new funding for the TCA.
Absolutely. And speaking of veterans, a couple of weeks ago I had Peter Buat He's an art therapist at Fort Hood, and his project, he does art therapy for veterans with TBI, traumatic brain injuries. Mm-hmm. And his whole program is funded through Creative Forces, which mm-hmm. is, I guess, funded nationally.
Yes.
Yeah, so right there is an example. So he's given us a nice little soundbite, and he does amazing work. He has a project coming up. It's going to be part of the Austin Veterans Art Festival, and it's like these 3D sculptures of veterans who posed, and they're kind of created with just technology, like 3D printing, but they look so real. And he was talking about some of the work he does, and just right there is just one example of how the funding is transforming lives.
The Creative Forces is a slightly different program, but it's very exciting. Right. It's funded at the national level by mm-hmm. the Department of Defense and the National Endowment for the Arts. Mm-hmm. And they originally chose 11 different states to have the pilot project, one of them being Fort Hood in Texas. Mm-hmm. So we were very fortunate to have that. And Second Lady Karen Pence and First Lady Cecilia Abbott attended that mm-hmm. and, you know, expressed their support for this work as well. Second Lady Karen Pence her commitment is to arts therapy, music therapy.
Yeah,
so that was fun. And there was performances that were happening. It was a really exciting 2 days. And that was co-sponsored by the Texas Commission on the Arts as well. So federal, statewide support is incredible.
Yeah, it really is. And so much good work. We have a few minutes left. I want to touch on, shout outs, Texas Cultural Trust. I want to talk
Absolutely.
About State of the Arts, Invest in the Arts, and then Senate Bill 1319?
Yes.
The county hot bill initiative?
Yes. Turned out to, well, yep. First of all, a huge shout out to the Texas Cultural Trust.
Yeah, big time.
We work in close partnership with them. They print, or they do all the research biennially on mm-hmm. economic impact. So that's a vital thing that we take to the legislators.
There's the numbers and
yeah,
the
that, meat and that's potatoes. Really funny. Yeah. All right. I just spaced out on what the second thing was.
So you're okay. So Senate Bill 1319?
Oh, yeah. So Senate Bill 1319 actually ended up getting vetoed.
It did?
Yeah. Okay. Just a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. And there was an amendment that was attacked on mm-hmm. that the governor didn't support that particular amendment so that the bill did not pass. So we'll bring that back next session. That's a reporting bill very similar to the one we had mm-hmm. Last session.
Yep.
And that is
that was the municipal level.
That was the municipal hotel mm-hmm. occupancy tax reporting bill. This is county. Counties mm-hmm. can levy a tax, mm-hmm. a hotel tax, I think it's typically up to 2%, and some portion of that can fund the arts in some counties. So we wanted to get that to know.
Operative word, can.
Yes, can. Yes, may. Yeah. So our goal is to find out what counties are doing that, what money might be available, and how can we work with counties to leverage that for the arts.
Great. So much good work, Anne.
Thank you so much. It takes a village.
I'm glad we got a half hour of your time this morning. I really appreciate you taking some time out of your busy day.
Well, thanks for the showcase. And again, this takes a village of grassroots advocates, members, board members, volunteers, our partnerships with the Texas Commission on the Arts and the Texas Cultural Trust, and many more organizations.
Absolutely. Lots of good work. And I want to commend you and your artist friends and colleagues and everyone. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
And texansforthearts.com is the website.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks,
Sam. Okay. Thanks, Quentin.
All right. You are tuned to KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, your community radio station. Stay tuned for Reflections of Community Outreach coming up in just a minute.
This is Reflections of Community Outreach, ROCO.